Welcome to Money, Markets and Masterminds, a CityWire South Africa podcast that delves into the intricate world of finance, investment and strategic decision-making. If you're a fund selector or an independent financial advisor looking for insights, analysis and expert opinions to enhance your perspective, you're in the right place here with me, editor Ruan Uester. Insurance brokers still play a vital role in the financial services industry by providing product expertise, access to markets, claims assistance, and regulatory compliance support. Despite technological advancements and alternative distribution channels, brokers continue to serve very specific needs in the value chain. Today, we're talking specifically about the significant role that insurance brokers play in driving growth within the funeral industry in South Africa, a country which collectively conducts about 480,000 funerals a year post-COVID. In the studio today, we have Clinton McDonald, CEO of KGA Life, a specialist funeral insurance underwriter specializing in group schemes. It has a national presence through an extensive distribution network of intermediary partners with offices in Gauteng, the Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and the Free State. In 2017, Clinton joined KGA, which was founded in May 1986, and he was appointed as CEO in 2019. Welcome, Clinton.
Thank you, Ren. Thanks for having me on your show.
Why do you say that South African funeral insurers would not have been able to adapt to the changing needs of customers to the degree that they have since the pandemic, were it not for the insights provided by the brokers of funeral policies?
Right. Yeah. So I think, like, not unlike a lot of insurance products, but specifically with funeral insurance, which is by far the most widely taken up form of insurance in our country, and appeals to the majority of our population. And is also a reason why there are quite a number of offers in the market from different players. But I think certainly the role of the broker is ultimately, you know, to exactly or as close as possible match the needs of consumers, right? So they play a really pivotal role in segmenting the consumer base and feeding those needs back to the product supply, which are the insurers and the underwriters, who are then able to better design products but that actually are being demanded from public and would actually have a higher utilization than if we had built the product without that kind of closed loop feedback. So they play an enormous role right from the start of the inception or the actual product innovation. So from that perspective, and then right through the life cycle of that product, making sure that consumers are aware of any sort of changes, either within their policy or within the legal framework, or and also making sure that as that person goes along, and as the policy ages, as those people on the policy age, that the adequate cover is maintained through the life cycle of that policy.
Clinton, cost ultimately shapes how funeral packages are designed and is the ultimate basis on which brokers compete. Can you unpack some of the investment products currently available in the funeral insurance space?
Yes, certainly. So I think one of the things we found a while back is looking at exactly what consumers perceive when engaging with funeral policies. In terms of, you know, the structure of the policy, the pricing, the benefits, and at the time it was quite popular for a funeral policy to include a number of living benefits. So in addition to the base reason for having the policy, which is for a quick payout of cash for typically funeral arrangements, but it's all centered around a very, very quick payout, which is very different to a life insurance policy, which typically takes a bit longer because it's fully underwritten. There are medical questions, etc., that need to be validated. So, from that perspective, you know, we found that consumers actually the living benefits I'm talking about is things like counseling lines, it's things like grocery vouchers, airtime vouchers, and pretty much anything that adds sort of value to the policy. Because if you think about a funeral policy, like a life policy, I mean, there's only one sort of claim event where you'll actually realize the benefit of that policy. And in our research, we found that consumers perceived policies with these living benefits to be more expensive than if it was just a vanilla funeral policy cover product. I mean, we fed that back into our systems, and it stands today that price is a very big consideration on a funeral policy, but it's also that perceived value, which plays a huge role in determining which policies consumers may take up with whichever provider or channel.
Clinton, I've always wondered how unique the funeral policy offering in South Africa is compared to the rest of the world. You just mentioned it is probably the biggest insurance offering taken up by consumers in the country. But I just want to know, what type of access do brokerages like yourself provide to various financial advisors and or other types of brokers here, and if anywhere else?
Right. So, I mean, our company started on the basis where the founder of the company effectively was approached by one of the country's very large church groups, and was approached to form a funeral scheme for all of its members, right, and provide cover all at the same time. So it was essentially the first funeral group scheme in the country, and at the time was underwritten by a different insurer. Until 1991, when we acquired our full insurance license and we became the underwriter. But, you know, that kind of tells you the story in terms of why funeral in our country is unique. It's very much, if we look at the broader population, you know, driven by, a cultural backdrop, which makes it slightly different, you know, in terms of if you think about car insurance or any sort of asset insurance, you know, there's that fear of you losing the asset that's driving that insurance cover. Whereas typically in funeral, and I'm generalizing, but typically in the funeral space, right, it's a lot more than that. There's a lot of social undertones to a funeral. A lot of our cultural funerals last a number of days. A lot of the funerals have to take place very, very, very rapidly based on either cultural or religious reasons. And all of that stuff gets fed back in and has to be collated into a financial services product. So you'll see a lot of the times what typically would make a funeral policy in South Africa a little bit different to perhaps somewhere else in the world are these things attached to, well, the first thing is in our country, the by far the number one channel how consumers actually get a policy is through a funeral parlor or a burial society or a church group. So it's not directly with the insurer. So that makes it quite unique in that sense because a lot of the time, the consumer is unaware that there's actually an underwriting company behind that intermediary. That intermediary would potentially lead with their own brand. And, you know, from the consumer's perspective, then they're not too worried about that. Although having that, the backing of the underwriter is obviously really critical. It is obviously the law as well. But, you know, I would feel better as a consumer knowing that if my funeral parlor was no longer there or was out of business, it wouldn't actually affect my policy because that policy is backed up by an insurer like ourselves. So that makes it quite different as a insurance category, a financial service product category, and probably a unique financial services product when compared to others and around the world.
You just kind of unpacked the product design and where and how brokers fit into the scenario. But let's just talk about the service support post-sale of such policies. As you just mentioned, if the funeral parlor or the burial society no longer exists, the insurer will still be. What kind of a post-purchase support does brokers provide, especially in the funeral policy space?
Yeah, I think it's a general challenge when you're selling an intangible good, so you know, to a consumer. So if a consumer buys something, you know, a physical good or service, they get that immediate gratification. So with insurance, it's effectively this promise that if something happens in the future, that's when you'll actually get the benefit of this product. So it becomes quite challenging to stay connected with your consumer. Because it's almost like once a policy has been, you know, accepted, that's kind of it until you actually claim on the policy. But where our distribution channels are quite unique is, you know, these the funeral parlors and the burial societies are largely very active within their own membership base. You know, and a very simple, nuanced evidence of this is, you know, they don't refer to their clients as policyholders, as the insurer would. They refer their clients as members. So you're a member of a funeral parlor, you're a member of a burial society, etc. So it gives you a slight indication as to the mindset that's behind that. And obviously, there's a lot of activity that it's driven around the funeral product. A lot of times, you know, there's other services that are complementary to the insurance part. So that obviously, the services part. So once a consumer actually does claim on the policy, they can immediately take up the services, the funeral services element of the of that grouping that they belong to. And then there's the, you know, a lot of funeral products around the country are very large and very sophisticated, very technologically driven, and, you know, for the most part run like other, let's say, more mainstream financial companies like the banks, etc., with branch outlets and you know, a very holistic view of how to manage your customer and how to stay engaged. So they do that very, very well, and I think it highlights that, you know, that strengthens that relationship, and it allows the consumer to have a more tangible, I guess, experience when buying the product, because it's constantly, first of all, you know, you typically take it up with your local funeral parlor, so you typically see a lot more presence. You know, you'll see funerals happening on weekends. You'll speak to other members in the community, so you constantly engaging with the brand, you know, versus if you've now taken up a policy, let's say online with a traditional channel, you go to one of the big insurers. It's all impersonal. It's obviously very quick, painless. But there's definitely value that the intermediaries bring in that regard in this continued servicing of the client.
Clinton, you described some of the research resources available to you and your clients. What does the research show about the pandemic, the COVID pandemic, and how things have changed in the funeral industry and the insurance that goes with it?
Yes, I mean, COVID was obviously a massive event for the world. It, you know, I don't think of any industry that wasn't affected by it in a significant way. But the funeral industry was, you know, so to speak, at the coalface. You know, so if you imagine, we had this unusual event. And we had unusual numbers of people, you know, succumbing to COVID, and you know, the funeral parlors are ultimately there to, you know, this is the moment they kind of take over and they guide, you know, families through the process. Now, and with COVID, there was just this huge volume of funerals taking place, and you know, the funeral industry, so the broader funeral industry, including the service providers that actually conduct funerals, and all the way up the value chain, you know, right from coffin manufacturing and et cetera, you know, they all had to suddenly switch massive gears to obviously meet the demand, you know, and it was a very, very intense period. And the funeral industry as a whole did an absolutely amazing job in actually, you know, rising to that challenge and meeting it. And you can imagine, like, a typical funeral policy would maybe be doing, let's say, small to medium enterprise might be doing, and as 7 to 20 funerals a weekend, and that exploded to 7 to 20 per day, 7 days a week. So you can imagine how your business would be affected by that. And obviously, you know, the perception is they're doing all these funerals, making a lot of money, but the reality was that there was the shortage of supplies. There were prices were doubling and tripling daily. You know, and these guys had to come up, you know, and you know, rise to the occasion and adjust their businesses and scale up with that. Now, obviously, post pandemic, those numbers have obviously dropped right off, and you know, the same providers are sitting now with a lot of unused capacity, and all that capacity costs money. You know, so you're seeing all this fixed cost that you can't necessarily do anything with. Which is having a massive toll, obviously, on the funeral parlors themselves from the services side, right? So they're all really, really relying more heavily on their funeral policy sales and divisions, you know, to keep them afloat. Because while they now adjust down capacity, which takes a lot longer to ramp up, they're all feeling massive pressure, particularly on, you know, pretty much just staying in business, right? And obviously that does present obviously a challenge and a risk for their consumers or their clients. That if, you know, if they're not able to do that, then those people will be no longer, you know, potentially sitting with a membership of that funeral policy. So that's the challenge that we experience. And we talk to our intermediaries a lot about that. And we obviously try and be part of that solution process in terms of making sure that they continue to do what they do so that we can continue to use them as a channel.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. And thank you, Clinton, for your time. Your insight into the funeral industry does show that intermediaries are often very localized within their communities and build trust with customers on a level that product providers simply cannot attain themselves directly. And the COVID pandemic set a very specific scene for why brokers still matter. To all our CityWise South African listeners, thank you for tuning into this episode of Money, Markets and Masterminds with me, editor Ruan Joester. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review and share it with your network. We are available on all major platforms such as Spotify, Google and Apple Podcasts. Until next time, goodbye.